Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Great.
Good. Have a good week?
Yep.
Okay.
It could have.
Hadn't been a bad week. You know, I think when we look at our challenges, we do that very quickly, and we focus on those a lot. Okay, one of the challenges within the challenge is to remember that our blessings always outnumber and outweigh the challenges. We are always way more blessed than we are challenged. Okay, and sometimes the challenges look like they're way up here, feel like they're way up here, but God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's blessings are always bigger. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute or two. What holiday are we celebrating? Labor Day. Why do they call it Labor Day? It's holiday. Is it supposed to be a day of rest? Recognizing labor, okay? Recognizing workers throughout the world, throughout this country, okay? Traditionally, the end of the summer, okay? Yeah, after tomorrow, no white. Don't wear any white, okay? All right. Pull it out again after Memorial Day, but you can't do it from Memorial Day to Labor Day to Memorial Day, right? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what color did God make snow? Okay. And has anybody heard the Farmer's Almanac forecast for this winter? We're going to wear a lot of white this winter if that's true. So that's okay. That's all right. Okay. So we are celebrating Labor Day. And think about your week this week. Busy? All of our kids are back in school. Some of them haven't gone away to school, you know. And just because there's one fewer person in the household doesn't mean that the schedule's any lighter or easier, does it, Jessica? Still just as busy. Okay? We are, for the most part, as humans in this country today, we are, for the most part, flat out. Everybody is doing pretty much all they can do. And we try and figure out why we stay in a fairly constant state of agitation. Fretted, mad, grumpy. I got a t-shirt about that, but I won't go into that right now.
No, he says some days I wake up grumpy and some days I let her sleep.
So, now, that being said, we live in almost a perpetual state of agitation. No wonder we're tired at the end of the week or the end of the day. And no wonder, because schedules are busy, summer's over, so to speak. School's back in session. We're looking at the last half of the year, which, by the way, is already partially gone. Okay? Who can tell me how many shopping days there are till Christmas? Okay? It's 110. Sure. Okay? All right? But our play days for the summer are pretty much done. Okay? It is back to the grind. You know, we look at summertime. It's vacation. It's taking time off. It's going to the beach. Whatever you do, however you enjoy yourself, getting family together and enjoying that recreational time. Okay? Because it's most convenient. It's when our kids are out of school and everybody's home. Okay? But then we move away from that at the Labor Day, traditionally Labor Day. Okay? Because, you know, right after they stopped making dirt and I was going to school, school didn't start until the day after Labor Day, okay? And we weren't the end of July getting out either. But we didn't worry about bus routes. We walked uphill in the snow both ways to school, didn't we? with no shoes. Yes. So now, but we are in gearing up, okay, for the last half of the year. All the things that we're thinking about, and part of that, I know we're already thinking about the fact that, okay, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, we've got Christmas coming up, we've got preparations to begin to make. Okay, did you ever notice? Have you noticed? Have you been in the stores and seen Christmas decorations out yet? They are. And it's not Labor Day yet. Okay? But it's that moves us mentally, emotionally, and spiritually into a state in which we are gotta go. And in that comes that sense of agitation so much of the time. In our personal lives, the load's heavy. There is a lot to be done. There is little room for error because that's the way we've set our lives up and that's the way we've built things into our schedules. We don't have time to mess up. Okay? Ever had a day that was planned pretty much from the very beginning throughout every single moment? You had an appointment and a meeting and an appointment and this and this and this, and the very first one in the morning, you got late because the car wouldn't start, you had a flat tire, something like that. And what's that do to your attitude for the rest of the day? Okay, it then becomes a fight, and the agitated state is there. That's the way we are. You ever have the thought throughout the course of a week, Lord, please just make it stop? And we're looking for that rest. We're looking for that peace. The Bible tells us, Book of Exodus, one of those 10 laws that Moses brought down from the mountain. 6 days shalt thou labor, and on the seventh day you shall rest. Keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy. God knows that we need that day, that time of rest in our lives. You know, oftentimes we think rest means taking a break from work. Lord, give me just 10 or 15 minutes to sit down. Just a half hour here, and then I'll be ready to jump back at it again. What do you do in that half hour? Okay, what's your mind doing in that half hour? Thinking about all the stuff you've still got left to do. Thinking about what's coming up. Thinking about, I shouldn't be sitting here because I've got all this left to do. Thinking about this item and this item and this item, and I've got this planned, and this is how I'm going after this, and as soon as I finish this, this is how I'm going after this. So the mental agitation, the unrest in our minds and our hearts and our souls still continues. We might rest physically so that we have the physical energy to pick those things up and go on with them, but our spiritual rest has not come because we are still in that go mode. When we think about being agitated in that sense of agitation, think about Moses. He's got a million people, and they're all following him on this one path. And he's supposed to lead it, pick it. He's following God. Cloud by day, fire by night. But Moses has got all these questions. And some of that's being fed by all the people that are putting stuff in this ear, in this ear. Moses, you brought us out here. How are you going to feed us? Where are we going to get water? What's going to happen to our clothes? What happens to our lifestyle? And Moses passes those questions along. Lord, how are you going to? Lord, when are you going to? Lord, where are you going to? Lord, can you? Lord, would you? Lord, could you? Lord, please. Will you? God has the answer to that question, and he says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Rest. You know, for all the questions that Moses had, God had an answer. For every single question that we have, God has an answer. There's nothing unknown to Him. You ever feel like, well, God, if you know it, would you just let me in on it every once in a while? Would you tell me? It would bring me a lot more peace. No, it wouldn't. Because as soon as we got that one down, we'd be asking another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. I'm reminded, our grandson Cody started school, new school this year. And his very first class of the day is driver's ed. And he said, it's 8:30 in the morning. And he said, and there's this kid sitting in the seat next to me. And he said, and he's a million and one questions from the very first time that the class starts. And it's questions like, why are there so many ridges on both sides of the car keys? Those kinds of questions. And it's one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And he said, and finally, he said, like on about day four of this, I thought, ugh. And he said, and I very quietly leaned over and said, dude, shut up. And he said, the teacher said, Cody, you can't say that. Cody's like, so anyway, part of the class is inside, the other part of the class is outside. So the teacher came over to him, she said, thank you for saying something I couldn't. She said, I hated to have to discipline you in public. And that's not a word we should use, but I know how you feel. But God says, I will give you that rest. Jesus talks about it. I want to look at these couple of verses in Matthew real quickly. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gifts and the blessings of this day. Father, thank you for the sunshine, for the beautiful day that you've created for us. Father, I thank you for every single person that has come to be a part of this time of praise and of worship and of song and of prayer and of learning and of laughter and of tears. Father, you know it all. You created it all. You give us the opportunity to do things for you, and we, I pray, are taking those opportunities and making the most of them for you. Father, we look around this morning and we know that there are many that are not here. We know there is so much sickness going on in our world, in our society, and even in our own communities, homes, and church. But Father, we thank you for successful healing. We thank you for successful procedures. We thank you for the healing that you bring about in doctors and nurses and caregivers and hospitals and caregivers at home. Father, we know that there are those who are waiting for your call. We pray that you are with them every single second. We pray that you are surrounding their families with comfort and tenderness and strength every single moment. Father, we pray that you heal according to your will, and if it is your will, bring each back to this fellowship and family at the earliest opportunity. Father, we also know that there will come a point in time on your calendar, on your schedule, in your time frame, in which the bodies that we've been loaned here in this earth are going to come to rest. They will cease to work. But the part that makes every person so unique, so special, such an individual, that soul, that spirit lives on. And Father, we know that we have said see you later to loved ones in our lives whose souls and spirits have gone on to be with you, and for that we are so very thankful. It is a comfort to know that they are rejoicing in heaven with you every day, but we still miss them because they're not here. And I pray that for those who are longing to have another moment, another conversation, share a cup of coffee, a walk, a round of golf, whatever, Father, I pray that you comfort them. Remind them of those good times, those blessings, those memories that we're allowed to share and hold in our hearts until, in fact, we are together again. Father, I thank you for your watch care, for taking care and watching over those who are traveling. Watch over them every single mile. Bless their time wherever they may be. Some are traveling for vacation, for family, for work, for recreation, whatever the reason. Father, we pray that you will see them safely home. Father, for the men and women in uniform serving in our armed forces here and around the world, for our police officers, our firefighters, our emergency medical technicians, Father, we pray that you watch over them every single second. Keep them from harm's way. Father, I pray that you will continue to bless them in their service. Help us to stand up and say thank you. And Father, bring them home safely and soon to their families and their loved ones. To the leaders of our country, Father, and the leaders of this world, I pray that you will move them to stand up, to step out, to pick up your word, and to find the wisdom, the counsel, and the guidance in your holy scriptures that they need to make the decisions that are right for the people. Right in that they will bring this country and this world back to you. We ask all of these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Jesus tells us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are weak and heavy laden. At what point in time do we consider ourselves heavy laden? Pretty much any day of the week. Plates full, life's busy. There's more than enough challenges. We probably all have five or six or seven or maybe one great big one that we'd love to wipe off of our plates than we think would make life so much easier. Now, a couple of things in that thought process. God says, Jesus tells us that life is going to be life. We are going to have challenges. We are going to have trials. We are going to have trouble. Okay, that is the world of this making. But there again, if you didn't have a bad day, how would you know what a good day felt like? If you didn't have a good day, how would you know what a bad day felt like? Okay, so one of those reasons. But another of those reasons is that every single challenge, every single day, every single minute, every time we have an opportunity to work through something that is on our plates, whether we'd like for it not to be there or don't really mind if it's there, every single minute that we have to do that is an opportunity to grow closer to Jesus Christ without fail. Now, the choice is ours as to whether we take advantage of that, whether we make the most of that, whether we embrace it and go after it, or whether we just say, I got this, and continue going off on our own. Jesus says, if you want rest, not the physical kind of rest that's going to give you enough energy to go on and take care of these next 2 hours worth of work or 3 hours worth of work, but if you want rest here, if you want peace of mind and you want rest here in your heart and soul, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. All too often times, we seek that rest from things of the world. Ever bought an appliance because you thought it'd make your life easier? Did it? When it worked right, yep. Ever had the technology go upside down on you? Oh, yes. Okay. Ever wished you could go back to a corded telephone some days just because of the fretful nature that, you know, fat fingers, little buttons, no Wi-Fi, the list goes on and on and on, the technological challenges. You know, if I could go back to a corded telephone, number one, I couldn't go, but so far I'd have to sit down, have a conversation. Oh, but you got cordless. They got batteries and Bluetooth signals and all that other stuff that quits, okay? How oftentimes do you wish for life to be simpler? It doesn't sound like things are simpler next door. How often do you wish for life to be simpler? Sure, slow down. Lord, a little easier, a little softer, a little kinder, a little gentler. We are looking for that rest. But we look things that we think are going to save us a few more minutes. We talk oftentimes in the workplace about the fact that you got an hour's worth of work. You spend an hour loading stuff and material. You spend an hour on all the prep side. You spend an hour doing the work. You spend 2 hours breaking it all down. So a one-hour work job's become 5 hours. And if we get all the other stuff out of the way, how much easier that 1 hour's worth of work would be. We've created this. Okay? We have to figure out how to deal with it. And it keeps us oftentimes in a constant sense of internal spiritual turmoil. Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Don't have to pay for it. But how do we do that? How do we find that spiritual rest? What do we do in that sit-down time? Take a nap? Most of the time. Okay? Try and get that next few minutes of energy. Okay? What if we were to take 30 minutes during the course of our day and spend it in one-on-one quality time and conversation with God, with Jesus Christ? Now, we call that devotionals sometimes. Okay? But by and large, the vast majority of believers don't spend much time every single day in devotionals. Too much to do. But yet we stay in that constant sense of turmoil because we're not spending quality time with Jesus Christ. How many of you are familiar with power naps? Okay, that 10-minute nap that you don't know you're taking, and all of a sudden you wake up and think, wow, I feel really good, gotta go. Okay, suppose we took... Interesting now. Let me sidebar here for just a second. Something that I was going to bring up anyway. How many of you have gone down the road and all of a sudden you've realized that you don't remember the last 3 or 4 miles? Ever done that? Guess what? You have fallen asleep at the wheel. Period. You have fallen asleep at the wheel. They call it microsleep. Okay? National Safety Council finally just put a name to this. If you have ever done this, you have fallen asleep. Technically and legally, you have fallen asleep at the wheel. Change your thoughts about that now? Yeah, it does. Okay, so now let's go back. That 30-minute, have you ever thought about taking a power nap with Christ? Okay, have you ever thought about taking that time just 15, 20, 30 minutes, and set that time aside and say, "Lord, you and me, just you and me." Okay? And we're going to do this, and whether it's in prayer, whether it's in your word, whether it's in a devotional, whether it's in just quiet time. And I understand quiet time's hard to find. There's a lot of noise out there. Okay? And the rest of the world may not be so big and busy around us, but there's ding, ding, zzz. But my cell phone's on silent. Zzz, zzz, zzz. Okay? It's amazing how many times with cell phones on silent that I hear cell phones go off in church. Zzz, zzz, zzz. Set it all aside. Get rid of it. You know what? The world's not going to end in that 30 minutes that you're having that one-on-one quiet time with Jesus Christ. And if it does, you ain't going to care about your phone anyway. It ain't going to matter. Okay? So, at this point, we have to take time. We have to take time. Throughout the course of our day, we have to take time. Set everything else aside, sit down, and have that one-on-one quality time with Jesus Christ. And you know what? He is waiting for that. He is excited about that. He is looking forward to that. It is the fellowship that he longs to have with every single one of us. But in that, when we are taking advantage of that and we go to him in prayer and pour it all out, and sometimes it's in with humor involved, and he'll laugh at that with us. And sometimes it's with tears involved, and he'll cry with us in that. And there are times out here when it's just kind of on an even keel, and it's neither lighthearted or tragic. Okay, but he's right there every single second, and he welcomes that time, and he says, "Pour it out to me, give it to me, come unto me, and I will give you the rest that your soul and your spirit is so desperately seeking." We don't find that rest because we do not take that time. We choose not to go there. And throughout the course of any given day, no matter great big mountain, great big boulders, great big valley, ruts in the road, whatever the reason may be, okay, whatever the challenge may be, that we choose not to spend that time. And when we do, how much more refreshed we feel. How much lighter our hearts are. How much stronger our spirits feel. We feel like we've been given what we need to continue on. And we have. We have. So here's the challenge. If Labor Day is a holiday for you, you already got a short work week coming up. Yes? Excited about the fact that Monday's a holiday, right? Kids aren't in school, don't have to go to work. Some of us. Okay? So now, you've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Start it tomorrow and pick 30 minutes in your time tomorrow. Pick 30 minutes in your time tomorrow. Whether you do it before anybody else gets up, before your house gets busy, whether you take your cup of coffee, your glass of water, your juice, whether you do it on the deck, whether you do it on a screened-in porch, whether you do it downstairs in the basement, whether you go in the closet and kick the clothes out and pull the door together behind you, wherever. Okay, but find that time. Take that 30 minutes and spend it with Jesus Christ. Lord, here I am. Lord, you know what's on my heart. Lord, let me go into your word for just a few minutes and see what it says to me today. See how it's new. And we understand every single day, 7.5 billion times, because that's the estimate as to how many folks are on this world, 7.5 billion times a day, God's grace and mercies are brand new. You don't get any leftovers. They are new for you every single day. So when you start out the day today, your mercies were brand new. When you start out the day tomorrow, your mercies are going to be brand new. I was thinking about children or people getting ready to have kids and thinking nurseries are brand new every day. No, that's not the case. Okay. His mercies are new. Oh, hello. His mercies are new.
Don't put it in my piano.
He's bound and determined. He's on your piano. Okay. His mercies are brand new every single day. You don't have to start over. He's got it. But take that time, wherever you have to go to find it. Tomorrow should be a little easier. It's a holiday for most folks. Okay? But try it 1 week. Try it for this work week. Make it a point to find that 30 minutes. And I'm not talking about, well, yeah, I got a 30-minute commute. I'll do it then. No. That's not it. Okay? I spend a lot of time talking to God while I drive down the road too. But I also understand that there's other things that I have to pay attention to out there while I'm on the road. Okay? I'm talking about taking 30 minutes, an undefiled, an absolute dedicated 30 minutes, 20 minutes even, for Jesus Christ. Whether you do it the last thing before you go to sleep at night, whether you do it in the middle of the day, whether you do it first thing, whenever, but take that 30 minutes, okay? And spend that 30 minutes in that one-on-one conversation with Jesus Christ and see how much better it makes you feel. See how much stronger your spirit becomes. See how much better equipped and prepared you feel like you are to deal with whatever's coming your way. The things that you know about and the things that are going to pop up. Okay, try that for 1 week and see what happens. He'll never fail you. Never ever will he let you down. Never ever will he walk away from you. Never ever will he forsake you. His promises: come unto me, all ye who labor and are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the day that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the rest that you make available to us. Father, I pray that we will do what we need to do in our lives to say, I'm agitated enough. I'm going to change. I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to spend that time with you, Father. I'm going to have that talk with you, have that conversation, read your word, spend it in prayer, just looking out in quiet time on the nature and its surroundings and all that you've created. But we're going to have that one-on-one time every single day because I need that rest in my life. And Jesus, we thank you for telling us that every time we come to you, you will give us that rest. Lord, we thank you. And it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.